Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2019. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 20, paragraphs 3 and 4, beginning with, how many times have people said to us in commenting on two paragraphs? Today's readers are Roz R. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, Robin T., Tia S., and Penny L.C. We also have Janice P.M. as our newcomer greeter today, and Reggie O. for announcements. Lots of service opportunities. Thank you all to the team. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting Eastern Standard Time for yesterday was 12788. That's 12,788. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, April 17th, is 12,791, 12791. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Roz R. to please read the 12 steps.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Roz. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Roz R. from Florida, a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service, and thank you for letting me do service. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Rosario. You too. I will now ask Athena B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Athena B., a recovered compulsive overeater, and these are our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you very much, Athena B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book and the chapter There's a Solution, page 20. We're reading and commenting on two paragraphs, the third and fourth paragraph, starting with how many times have people said to us. And I will now ask Robin P. to please begin reading.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. How many times people have said to us, I can take it or leave it alone. Why can't he? Why don't you drink like a gentleman or quit? That fellow can't handle his liquor. Why don't you try beer and wine? Lay off the hard stuff. His willpower must be weak. He could stop if he wanted to. She's such a sweet girl, I should think he'd stop for her sake. The doctor told him that if he ever drank again, it would kill him. But there he is, all lit up again. Now, these are commonplace observations on drinkers, which we hear all the time. Back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. Well, this is just a great couple of paragraphs for me, because I tried everything that I could ever come up with or think of or someone recommended. I've done every diet. I mean, oh my goodness. I tried every single thing that I could come up with. I went to treatment. I tried this diet and that diet, and just nothing worked. And I desperately wanted and needed them to work. The only thing that I hadn't done was admit powerlessness, and came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity and turn my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understood God. That's what I was missing, because all of that was willpower instead of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. It was all just willful pushing and striving, and it was Russian roulette for me. You know, as soon as I started binging and vomiting or starving, it was the obsession of the mind, the body. It was that physical allergy and that mental obsession, and I just couldn't stop. And I would think, how did this happen again? How did I get here again? And it was so dumbfounding that this was going to work. Today, I know this is the solution. Other people told me this was their solution. Other people who are not compulsive overeaters and their lives had not become unmanageable, they found a diet that worked for them. They found Weight Watchers and it worked for them. They found all of these other systems that worked for them. And for me, as a compulsive overeater, I could not stay stopped without the help of this program, this fellowship, and these steps. This was my miracle. And once I found it, I look like a normal person. I act like a normal person when it comes to food. But I know that that's by God's grace has relieved that obsession. And I just am so eternally grateful for this program because it did for me what I could never do for myself, by myself, without God's mercy and without this fellowship. And I thank you all because you've all been such a blessing to me, and I love this meeting. So God bless you all in your recoveries. I hope you have a really blessed afternoon day. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. We're off to a great start, and I can't wait to hear everybody else's shares. Who wants to comment on what was read?
Sharon W.
G from Texas.
Sharon W.
Lisa G.
Joanne.
Jackie
B.
Holt.
Julie B.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. Hold on a second. Let's see. All righty. There was somebody, W, from Texas. What was your first name again?
Karen.
Karen, okay. And we had Sharon. What was the first initial of your last name?
I think it was Karen, Karen W, and
oh,
then,
Karen.
But yeah.
Okay, no, I heard Karen W, and somebody before Karen, I thought I heard a Sharon. Guess not. Kenny L.C., and then Lisa, I'm sorry, it went really fast. I heard a Jackie, I believe, H.
Yes.
And
yes.
Julie E.D. Lisa, what was your first initial, your last name? Lisa?
Yes. Can you hear me?
What? Yes. What's your first initial of your last name?
G, as in go.
Okay, great. Okay, I thought I saw, heard a Sharon there, but maybe it was Karen. And let's just start with this lineup. Karen W., Penny L.C., Lisa G., Jackie H., and then Julie E.B. Please go ahead, Karen.
Yes, I think it was me that you heard. So Karen W. from Austin, Texas, compulsive overeater. Super grateful to be on the meeting this morning. And when Robin was reading this, what I was thinking about is I remember so many times eating so much and stuffing so much food that the roof of my mouth would get little cuts in it, and I would still continue to eat even though it hurt. And that's what came up in my mind, and that's how I treated myself. With the food, it's like abusing yourself with the food. And and where it talks about how there he is all lit up again, and you know how many times I had sworn off, and then you know, life set in and it didn't take much, and then I would go to the only thing I knew for comfort to soothe the edges of life off of me. And or so I thought. I mean, it's all a lie to me and false. But also, you know, today what I know in my heart of hearts, I literally have to have a relationship cultivated with my higher power, God. And it has to be strong and it has to be solid through all circumstances. And I'm so grateful for that mindset. I'm so grateful that I'm so needy for that. Because it's my rock and foundation, you know, for life on life's terms today. And it doesn't compare into eating till the roof of my mouth's cut up. There's no comparison between those two. So, I know today, as long as I don't eat like that and I don't eat certain substances, then the physical and obsession and the craving will not be triggered. Like now, my emotional life sometimes can trigger and make me want to eat or make me have food thoughts of eating. And it happened yesterday. I'm going through life on life's terms like everybody else. And I just prayed in the car, you know, please, God, just take it away. It's not the answer. It's just not the answer today. And so I'm really grateful for these steps and the unveiling of the truth for me. And knowing myself, know thyself, and thank you. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much also, Karen W. Penny L.C., you're up next, followed by Lisa G.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And to read all of these lines, it, as was mentioned in the earlier meeting, it reminds me to go back to the doctor's opinion on page, I've got it written so much on my paper, I can't hardly see the page numbers. XXVIII in the doctor's opinion, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The message which can interest and hold alcoholic people must have depth and weight. And what I know is that the questions that these people are posing or the statements that they're making to me couldn't reach me. They didn't understand. They hadn't walked in my shoes. You know, they did not have any clear comprehension of what this disease was like. For that matter, in the beginning, neither did I. I just thought every time these questions were posed to me, I thought I just needed to try harder. But it's really evident, though, that how can others understand if they don't have the same experience? You know, I mean, I can accept all of their statements today because I know they just don't see what I see and know what I know because they've not had that same experience. And yet, when we come into program, and we come alongside fellows who do understand, who have walked in our shoes, then we can listen to what they have to say to us. And those fellows that have recovered as a result of working this program, and we can hear their recovery in their voices and what they share with us, and we can hear that peace and comfort and serenity in their voices, we can trust that they have an answer that just might work for me if I'm willing. But in all of these questions that used to get posed, I would just again still try to apply more power, my power, what I thought I had as power, try harder, and it never worked because now we know we've got to be at step one and admit our powerlessness. I had to admit my powerlessness, all that frothy emotional appeal in the world would never suffice. And today I'm grateful to know that I am powerless, but there is a solution. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. Lisa G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jackie H.
Thank you. This is from Austin, Texas. May I be heard?
Yes, we hear you well. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't usually share, but this really spoke to me because all these questions that people have said in statements about why can't he quit? Why don't you try this instead of that? Why can't you do this? You know, I never had anybody say that kind of thing to me. I didn't know I had a problem. I knew I was fat, and I knew I didn't like being fat, and I knew that I wanted to lose weight. And like most of us, I tried every diet in the world and I would lose weight and gain it all back because I couldn't stop eating. When I was pregnant with my daughter about 25 years ago, I was with to a cafe and had a date cat and she let's split.
Lisa, you're breaking
yes.
up just a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this better?
A little bit.
Is this better?
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
I live in the country and my reception absolutely sucks. I'm sorry. Let me know if I keep breaking up, because this is important. I want to share it. My girlfriend and I split a cupcake. And when we got through splitting it, I said, hey, let's get another one. And she said, honey, nothing is ever as good as the first bite. And I was absolutely floored. I said, are you kidding me? Nothing is as good as the millionth bite. Like, she was done splitting a cupcake. And that was the first time it ever hit me that I was different. And she said that to me many times later. You know, she'd offer me some kind of treat she had in her kitchen, and I'd want to eat all of it, and she'd have two bites, and she was fine. And, you know, I own a business, and I used to go to the bakery and buy, you know, a box full of baked goods for my quote-unquote employees. And at the end of the day, it was all gone. Well, when I got into program, if I ever buy any baked goods, everything was still there. And that made me see I was the one that was eating everything. No one else was eating anything. So I can't say I'm recovered yet. I just have a sponsor now, and we're going through the book. But I definitely identify with this, because I'm not like other people. I'm not like people that can stop after eating, you know, a small slice of cake or two cookies or two pieces of pizza or three chips and hot sauce. You know, I'll eat three baskets of chips. And I just thought that was normal. I thought everybody ate the way I ate. And I would look at these young women that worked for me that were thin, and I would be so jealous of them and so pissed at them that they were thin and I was fat. And it made me angry, and I didn't understand why. But now I understand why, because I'm different. I have an obsession of the mind, and a compulsion of the body. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Lisa G. Jackie H., you're up next, and the last share on this round will be Julie E.B. Please go ahead, Jackie.
Good morning. Good morning, all. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. You know, this paragraph, people didn't say this to me. I said this to me. This is how I talk to myself. I. What is wrong with you? Why can't you stop? Why can't you stop binging and purging? Why can't you stop spending money on another diet? Why can't you just be normal? And that's how I talk to myself. I was a very strong person. I have a strong will. I could accomplish anything I wanted to. But this wasn't happening when it came to food. And so I was really in the one that berated myself until I came in to OA 9 months ago and found out that I actually have an allergy of the body, that there is a real physical thing going on here, and that when I pick up any of my alcoholic foods, which I call, that I can't stop, and it has nothing to do with my willpower. It has nothing to do with that. It is a physical allergy. But then to complicate it even more, I have this obsession of the mind, because I had been abstinent many, many times. I wouldn't eat my alcoholic foods. I didn't call them alcoholic foods. I just knew they'd make me fat, so I wouldn't eat them. But it always went back, and I was always miserable because I didn't address the mind issue that I had. I didn't address the spiritual malady that I had. And I was living in this illusion that I could control by this diet, that diet. I just was in the huge control. And so I come in here, I put down my alcoholic foods, and I'm addressing the mind issue, the spiritual malady. And oh my gosh, I never dreamed. I'm 71. That's how old I am. And I started this when I was about 12. I never dreamed that I would have neutrality around food. I don't even look at diets anymore. I am so eternally grateful that this eating issue I had, this overcompulsive eating, this binging, this purging, this anorexia, all has been used for an incredibly higher purpose. And that higher purpose is for me to be able to see my powerlessness, see that I can't control a frickin' thing. I can't control my eating, my food, my alcohol, people, places, and things. So it's been used for me to finally surrender and put my trust and faith in a power greater than myself. And I'm happy today. I'm happy. I'm grateful. I do live in the sunlight of the Spirit. Thank you. I do live in the sunlight of the Spirit as long as I stay connected to my higher power. And with that, I will close. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Jackie H. After we hear from Julie E.B., we're going to open the line for more shares. And we're commenting today on page 20, the third and fourth paragraph, beginning with how many times have people said to us and ending with whose reactions are very different than ours. So Julie E.B., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered one day at a time here in Colorado. Wow, how many times have people said to us, and I agree that I would say these things to myself. These are the voice of what I call my lower power. Why can't I do this? Why? Up above it talks about these, and these are commonplace observations and questions, but it turned out what I needed to learn was how. And actually, I got so used to thinking about nobody understood me, you know, nobody understood the way I thought. It was actually difficult to come into this program and see that, wow, there are people who understand me, and I don't have to be alone in this. And I can reach out and I can tell someone, you know, that I stole $2 worth of soup and could lose my job over it, that I could say things like that. And there are people who are like, yeah. And not only then do I have that same problem that other people do, that life problem, that food problem, and that life problem, but that there is a solution, as this chapter said, that there is something greater than myself. Yeah, the doctor could tell me, I could sit in the hospital, you know, I could visit one of my medical specialists. These are commonplace observations on drinking, but there's a world of ignorance and misunderstanding, but I don't have to focus on that world. I don't have to live in that world for myself. Today, I can live in some knowledge, but that's not enough, some understanding, but that's not enough, because most of all, it's my higher power now that gives me knowledge and gives me understanding and drowns out the train. I was on with a sponsee this morning, a freight train went by. It's like, that's how loud the voices, these voices of people, what people have said to me, what I've said to myself are. But if I get into this solution, if I get a sponsor, if I get through these steps, if I read this book and seek a spiritual solution, which sounds like a weird word, but it's really just a new way of thinking and acting, this is, there's going to be a different reaction. So, yes, I'm different than other people, but also I'm the same as so many of you. And if this can work for me, this can work for you. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. All righty, so we're going to take another lineup here. Who would like to comment on those two
paragraphs? Joanne B.
Beatrice O.
Penny C.
Darian K.
In Florida.
Oops, Penny C. I heard someone K. Darian K.
Darian.
Darian, okay. And couple more?
Yes, in Florida.
I got Tia. Thank you. Anybody else?
Reggio.
Reggio. Whom I think?
Jordan
one more. Jordan L. Okay. I think we may be able to just barely squeeze in if everybody sticks right to 3 minutes or a little under. Okay. Joanne B., Beatrice O., Kenny C., Darian K., Pia S., Reggie O., Jordan L. Here we go. Joanne B., you're up.
Hi, thank you. This is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. Thank you so much for serving, and for those who've already commented. you know, when I listen to people, I'm thinking of all kinds of things that it just touches my heart. And then when I get on, I forget. But one of the things that I've noticed, and someone else had kind of said led to that as well, was that if I don't stay in my continuing to work my spiritual life, it doesn't take long for me to forget why I'm in this program. And I remember most of my life, how much guilt I had with just eating a meal, and why I couldn't stop, or why I might have stopped for a little while as long as I didn't ingest the foods. I didn't realize anything about the allergy, but then all of a sudden I would be eating again, and later I realized it was that I learned through program that it was an allergy, and somehow I was putting that ingredient into my body, which started causing that craving. But I know I had something I really wanted to say, but now it's gone. But I just want to thank everyone for sharing, because it's such a blessing to me to hear your stories and to see where I do the same thing or have done the same thing. And I'm so grateful for all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne B. Now we'll have Beatrice O, followed by Penny C.
Hello, this is Beatrice O from Northern California. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
I wanted to comment on the last sentence that says the doctor told him that if he ever drank again, it would kill him. But there he is, all lit up again. So I won't go over my history before I got here, but I did almost everything there was to stop eating, and then I would eat again. So I also have a long history in this program, and I had been going through the steps, and again, and I went on vacation, I did this, I did that. My depression started to rear its ugly head. And I know when I'm depressed, it's because I'm not turning it over to my higher power. But one of the things that I just wanted to share, and what kept me in the food in program for many years, is on page 58, it says that I lacked the capacity to be honest. And I used to think that that was my problem. And every time I relapsed, I said, well, I don't have the capacity to be honest. And the other, there's another page in the big book on page 30, it says the idea that someday, one day, I could, you know, eat like a normal person. And I used to think that that was true for me. I just needed to be spiritual enough. And the other page that was true for me is page XXX in the doctor's opinion, where it says he woke up over remorseful but never making a decision. So, you know, I used to think I didn't make a decision, I couldn't be honest, and that one day, someday, I could eat like a normal person. So those are the three areas in the big book that kept me in the food, going back to the food and going into that oblivion. So where I'm at today is in recovery. I haven't picked up, but I've been miserable lately. And I feel like, you know, I'm in the Grand Canyon and I'm walking along the rim there, and it's so majestic and so beautiful, but, you know, I'm on the edge and I could drop into oblivion, that abyss where food takes me. You know, and I have experience. Okay, so I'd like to finish up. You know, I have medical proof now that I am a food addict. So I need to step it up and work my program to stay abstinent. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Beatrice O. Penny C., you're up next, followed by Darian K. Go Red Sox.
Hello, did Penny, you call on me, Penny
I
C?
Did, Penny. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. This process of muting and unmuting gets complicated. I'm Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And, oh, gosh, I've been listening for the first 2 hours and now hearing about this commonplace observation on drinkers, which we hear all the time. And that there's a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. I think today there might be more understanding about the alcoholic than there is about the compulsive overeater. Way back many years ago, my story is that I went to my doctor and I said to him, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't stop eating. I'm not even hungry and I can't stop eating. And because of his ignorance, all he said to me was, I'd hate to see what you look like if you ever got hungry. And you know, I allowed that. I walked out of there, you know, feeling like a failure and there was nothing that was going to help me. And let's fast forward to just about a year ago when I got a new primary doctor, and so I told her, you know, I'm 70, 75 pounds lighter than I was 30 years ago, 32 years ago, really, and let me tell you how this happened, that I've stayed the same weight, normal body, wearing the same clothes season after season, and all she said to me was, it's only a matter of behavior modification. She didn't want to hear about OA. So, you know, what this says to me is we, especially we who have recovered, have such work to do educating the professionals. Excuse me again. No, there's a world of misunderstanding out there about compulsive overeating and anorexia and bulimia. Overweight people are still the butt of so many jokes, and even those of us who are compulsive overeaters, I've talked to so many people who have, you know, recovered in other programs and have a hard time admitting that they're powerless over one little piece of candy, one M&M. So there is a lot of education to be done. And it just, so often I think, what a responsibility I have that comes
a reminder.
With recovery. Just wrapping up, my timer told me that. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny C. Darian K., you're up next, followed by Pia S.
Hi, this is Darian K. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. This is Darian K. from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. We're grateful. That was definitely good reading. It's so amazing how everybody thinks they have the answer for you. That, you know, if you only tried this particular diet or counted this many points or ate this kind of food, like maybe the, you know, little packages of food, right, that they pre-make for you, you can have success. And it's like putting a big Band-Aid over a giant wound. It's not a small Band-Aid, I should say, because it's definitely not the answer. It was not the answer for me. Although I wanted it to be, I really did. And I always went back to things like Weight Watchers and Diet Workshop because my mom always used to say they're the healthier diets, you know, instead of the ones that were more drastic. but I just failed miserably. And the weekends were for eating, and you always cheated, and you always started on Monday. Never Tuesday, Wednesday, right? And so that was just a cycle of addiction, really, for me. And I just never knew what to do. And I felt so, so awful inside. And I just wanted to fit in and wear the clothes everybody did and be like everybody else. And that's why I tried to take off the weight like everybody else. But it didn't work. It didn't work until I found this beautiful program in 1986. And I was shown this program from my sister, my mom, and they were beautiful examples of how this program worked. And I saw it physically and emotionally. And this, to me, is the only one with that emotional and spiritual component that I needed personally to stay stopped. And so I just feel so grateful to have found this program and to be, you know, a part of this wonderful meeting, that it's just an amazing gift for me every day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, dear NK. Pia S., you're up next, followed by Reggie O.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service. This is Pia S., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida, and very grateful to be on the line today. I can take it or leave it alone. Why can't he? He could stop if he wanted to. And, you know, there's so much shame there for me, you know. He could stop if he wanted to. I could stop if I wanted to. I wanted to stop. And I didn't have weak willpower. I knew that I looked better when I wasn't overweight. And I tried everything. I tried light food, you know, light eating, low fat eating, high fat, you know, sugar free, low carb, trying all of these diet programs that I was taught that's gonna work for me. But they didn't. And it wasn't before I came into this program about 5 years ago that I heard that I had a disease. I had an allergy to certain substances. And I also had an obsession of the mind that just drove me back to those foods if I hadn't had them for a while. Then suddenly a thought came into my mind that, oh, now I can have them. And I found, but here I found the solution, and it was working the 12 steps through the Big Book. And by doing so, I got this access to a power that solved all my problems. So today I constantly work the steps so I can keep this connection with my higher power. And that power, that connection, now I know is the only safeguard that I have against me picking up my binge foods again. There's nothing else I can do other than just keeping this connection by constantly working the steps and being part of this fellowship, because I can't do this alone. I thought I could, but I can't. So I need you guys, and I'm so appreciative of this meeting, and thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, P.S. Okie doke. We have Reggie O. up next, followed by Jordan L. Please go ahead, Reggie.
Hi, thanks. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everyone who's on the call this morning. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Woodland Hills outside Los Angeles. And, you know, this is really amazing. You know, all this brings me back to... And, you know, like I never had anyone who, I had some overweight issues when I was in elementary school, and so did some of my schoolmates. But I never knew I was overweight. It was interesting. And people, my schoolmates would, you know, people would call them fatty or this or that. And I would think, oh, what a horrible thing, you know. But I don't think I ever had that consciousness for the longest time of eating and food and overweight and things like that. And then I did in high school, you know, I wanted to be like my friend who I thought was perfect. And I was a little bit I wasn't overweight really, but I was a little, I wasn't svelte and, you know, what that I thought she was. And so I thought, well, if I would eat like Lucinda, then I could be that way. And so I would follow her eating. We spent a lot of time together, but I would also eat on the side, which was the way Reggie ate. And so it was just all crazy, but I'm brought back to a very good friend of mine once I came into program, and she used to go to meetings. She had no addictive issues that I know of, and she would go with me to meetings and listen. And then one day we were talking about overeating, and I was telling her how, you know, that was just one of the behaviors that, you know, when I eat beyond a certain point, get overly full, it's like a trigger. And she just, I remember, and she was in clinical training. I think I've said this recently, it's just been coming back to me, but, and she stood there looking totally perplexed, and she just said, I just don't get why anyone would eat after you get full, you know, and it was really true for her. And it's a world of difference, because I can, you know, I can look at people and say, they can do this, you know, it's amazing, eat this way, and I can't. It's just a matter of acceptance. In some ways, it's like living in two very different worlds in this way, and it's very important for me to, you know, to live in the world that I live in, because there's so much outside, you know, that says otherwise. And I have on my own tried all of these things and more. And as well as that, I've had two uncles who, you know, one who looked like a gutter alcoholic, and another one who drank 2 quarts a day, smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day until he was 50. And one day he woke up and he thought, didn't want to treat his wife like that anymore. He stopped immediately. My other uncle, like, who sort of the gutter alcoholic, some people would call him, at 60 stopped and never drank again or smoked again until he died a couple of years later of lung cancer. And so, you know, I see those, and
that's,
I used to
reminder.
Question, well, that's the family I come from, maybe it's me, but you know, it's not me. I have so much evidence, and I just want to say, for me, this program and living this way requires a certain amount of rigor, which keeps me awake, and I love
gentle
being
reminder.
Awake. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you very much, Reggio. Excuse me, our final share today will be Jordan L. Please go ahead, Jordan.
Good morning, Elaine. My name is Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. and I just kind of wanted to finish, I guess, what I was talking about yesterday. so for me, I guess what I've come to see yesterday's paragraph and this paragraph as the start of is the start of step two. It's funny, right? Because I had read the Big Book a lot before I started studying it with you guys on this meeting. But I had never read it before like my life depended on it. I had never read it in such a way that it was like, these are the directions for you to live. You need to really pay attention here, you know? I have a very short attention span when it comes to listening. So I've really got to focus, you know? and so as far as this goes, we shall tell you what we have done. And then Bill talks about summarizing some points. And I see today's paragraph as kind of the start of the first of the points that he's going to summarize. And for me, that's the first part of the second step. Came to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And it's not even so much the came to believe that was important for me, but more this power greater than me. I really had to see, as far as compulsive overeating goes, I really had to see that I was beyond human aid, that there was nothing of this world that was going to be able to save me. not the right boyfriend, not the right job, not the right life formula, none of that stuff. And especially above all else, not my self-will. Because I had been told my whole life up until this point that that was like the key to everything. That was the answer to all my problems. Was, you know, pick myself up by the bootstraps and get her done. and I had seen that in both my parents too. I had seen the way that they live their lives, and I attempted to emulate that, you know? So this was really the first time in my life that I was like, self-will is not the answer here. I've tried every form of it to solve this problem. I've really got to find something bigger than that, or at least believe in something bigger than that, at least, you know, fake it. But anyway, thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Jordan L., and thank you for everybody who has shared today. A great meeting. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will P.S. please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you, Elaine. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.